Excuse me, sir, Anderson barked, running toward him. Have you seen a bald man with a sling on his arm? The man looked up from his book with a confused expression. A bald man with a sling, Anderson repeated more firmly. Have you seen him? The tourist hesitated and glanced nervously toward the far eastern end of the hallway.
Yes, he said. I think he just ran past me to that staircase over there.
He pointed down the hall. Anderson pulled out his radio and yelled into it.
All points! The suspect is headed for the southeast exit. Converge!
He stowed the radio and yanked his sidearm from its holster, running toward the exit. 30 seconds later, at a quiet exit on the east side of the Capitol, the powerfully built blonde man in the blue blazer stepped into the damp night air. He smiled, savoring the coolness of the evening.
Transformation.
It had been so easy. Only a minute ago, he had limped quickly out of the rotunda in an army surplus coat. Stepping into a darkened alcove, he shed his coat, revealing the blue blazer he wore underneath. Before abandoning his surplus jacket, he pulled a blonde wig from the pocket and fit it snugly on his head. Then he stood up straight, pulled a slim Washington guidebook from his blazer, and stepped calmly from the niche with an elegant gait.
Transformation. This is my gift.
As Moloch's mortal legs carried him toward his waiting limousine, he arched his back, standing to his full 6'3" height and throwing back his shoulders. He inhaled deeply, letting the air fill his lungs. He could feel the wings of the tattooed phoenix on his chest opening wide.
If they only knew my power,
he thought, gazing out at the city.
Tonight, my transformation will be complete.
Moloch had played his cards artfully within the Capitol building, showing obeisance to all the ancient etiquettes.
The ancient invitation has been delivered.
If Langdon had not yet grasped his role here tonight, soon he would. Chapter 13. For Robert Langdon, the Capitol Rotunda, like St. Peter's Basilica, always had a way of taking him by surprise. Intellectually, he knew the room was so large that the Statue of Liberty could stand comfortably inside it, but somehow the rotunda always felt larger and more hallowed than he anticipated, as if there were spirits in the air. Tonight, however, there was only chaos. Capitol police officers were sealing the rotunda while attempting to herd distraught tourists away from the hand. The little boy was still crying. A bright light flashed, a tourist taking a photo of the hand, and several guards immediately detained the man, taking his camera and escorting him off. In the confusion, Langdon felt himself moving forward in a trance, slipping through the crowd, inching closer to the hand. Peter Solomon's severed right hand was standing upright, the flat plane of the detached wrist skewered down onto the spike of a small wooden stand. Three of the fingers were closed in a fist, while the thumb and index finger were fully extended, pointing up toward the soaring dome.
"Everyone back!" an officer called.
Langdon was close enough now that he could see dried blood, which had run down from the wrist and coagulated on the wooden base. Post-mortem wounds don't bleed, which means Peter is alive. Langdon didn't know whether to be relieved or nauseated. Peter's hand was removed while he was alive? Bile rose in his throat. He thought of all the times his dear friend had extended this same hand to shake Langdon's or offer a warm embrace. For several seconds, Langdon felt his mind go blank, like an untuned television set, broadcasting only static. The first clear image that broke through was utterly unexpected. A crown and a star. Langdon crouched down, eyeing the tips of Peter's thumb and index finger.
Tattoos?
Incredibly, the monster who had done this appeared to have tattooed tiny symbols on Peter's fingertips. On the thumb, a crown. On the index finger, a star.
This can't be.
The two symbols registered instantly in Langdon's mind, amplifying this already horrific scene into something almost otherworldly. These symbols had appeared together many times in history, and always in the same place, on the fingertips of a hand. It was one of the ancient world's most coveted and secretive icons, the Hand of the Mysteries. The icon was rarely seen anymore, but throughout history it had symbolized a powerful call to action. Langdon strained to comprehend the grotesque artifact now before him. Someone crafted the Hand of the Mysteries out of Peter's hand? It was unthinkable. Traditionally, the icon was sculpted in stone or wood or rendered as a drawing, Langdon had never heard of the Hand of the Mysteries being fashioned from actual flesh. The concept was abhorrent. "Sir," a guard said behind Langdon, "please step back." Langdon barely heard him. There are other tattoos. Although he could not see the fingertips of the three clenched fingers, Langdon knew these fingertips would bear their own unique markings. That was the tradition. 5 symbols in total. Through the millennia, the symbols on the fingertips of the Hand of the Mysteries had never changed, nor had the hand's iconic purpose. The hand represents an invitation. Langdon felt a sudden chill as he recalled the words of the man who had brought him here. "Professor, tonight you are receiving the invitation of your lifetime." In ancient times, the Hand of the Mysteries actually served as the most coveted invitation on earth. To receive this icon was a sacred summons to join an elite group, those who were said to guard the secret wisdom of all the ages. The invitation not only was a great honor, but it signified that a master believed you were worthy to receive this hidden wisdom. The hand of the master extended to the initiate. "Sir," the guard said, putting a firm hand on Langdon's shoulder, "I need you to back up right now."
"I know what this means," Langdon managed. "I can help you."
"Now," the guard said.
"My friend is in trouble. We have to—"
Langdon felt powerful arms pulling him up and leading him away from the hand. He simply let it happen, feeling too off balance to protest. A formal invitation had just been delivered. Someone was summoning Langdon to unlock a mystical portal that would unveil a world of ancient mysteries and hidden knowledge. But it was all madness. Delusions of a lunatic. Chapter 14. Moloch's stretch limousine eased away from the U.S. Capitol, moving eastward down Independence Avenue. A young couple on the sidewalk strained to see through the tinted rear windows, hoping to glimpse a VIP.
"I'm in front," Moloch thought,
smiling to himself. Moloch loved the feeling of power he got from driving this massive car all alone. None of his other 5 cars offered him what he needed tonight, the guarantee of privacy, total privacy. Limousines in this city enjoyed a kind of unspoken immunity. Embassies on wheels. Police officers who worked near Capitol Hill were never certain what power broker they might mistakenly pull over in a limousine, and so most simply chose not to take the chance. As Moloch crossed the Anacostia River into Maryland, he could feel himself moving closer to Catherine, pulled onward by destiny's gravity.
"I am being called to a second task tonight, one I had not imagined."
Last night, when Peter Solomon told the last of his secrets, Moloch had learned of the existence of a secret lab in which Catherine Solomon